Good morning, church. Good morning, church. God is good. And all the time. Amen, amen. It is a blessing to be here with you today. I'm so glad to see everyone's lovely faces here. And for those who are watching online, I just want to say welcome. It is a blessing to have the privilege to bring you today's message. I want to first also thank Ted for the pastor's cohort who... It was a time where we were learning a lot about what it means to be a pastor and to preach and all of the art of that. Before we start, we got a word for someone, and I'd like for us to pray for this before we commence anything else. But during the communion reading, someone felt as though in his teachings, the islands will put their hope. So I just want to quickly pray for anyone who might be in the room who might feel lonely, isolated, or apart from community. So I'd like for us to just bow our heads for a moment and I will just pray over us. Lord God, thank you that in you is community. Thank you that you have a love so deeply rooted for all of us. And we just, one, we bind up the enemy's hand that tries to tell us that we are isolated or alone. We pray that you bring a full freshness of your love and the joy of all of your community, Lord. I also just pray for the notion of friendship. If anyone feels like they are trying to learn more about friendship or need friends, Lord, we just pray that you make avenues for that to come to pass. And I pray all these things in your holy and divine name. Amen. I love those moments because it's very important to be in tune with the Spirit. So if God is speaking, we should open our ears, right? Amen, amen. As we get started today's message, I wanted to start off with this question. Where do you put your trust? Give you a moment to think about this, but where do you put your trust? For some, it might be financial security, maybe a specific amount in your accounts. I mean, trust funds are called trust funds for a reason. Or maybe it's a job or a potential job. Where do we put our trust? Is it the connections and the influence you have? Maybe the people that you know people. Do we trust in our physical prowess, our health, or maybe even the food in our kitchen? Do we trust in our ability to communicate well, or our general knowledge over several subjects? Sometimes we put our trust in the government, or specifically, maybe it's a candidate or someone in politics who can change laws to alter the way things are. Church, we all have things we trust. I mean, you even trusted in that chair before you sat down, didn't you? Yeah, look at you, you didn't think about it. Now, all these have some form of security, but they're not the source of where we put our trust. And trust me when I tell you, there's a danger in putting more trust in things that are created than the creator of all things. The only thing that will remain is God's kingdom. Today, I'm here to share why we should put our trust in God and why he's the only one in whom we can put our ultimate trust. Amen? So our passage today comes from Psalms 46. So I'll give you a moment to open up your Bibles. If you actually open your Bible directly in the middle, you should hit a psalm. So that might help out a little bit. Or grab your program, and the lyrics are also going to be on the screen as well. I mean, the passage. We're talking about songs today, so that's in my mind right now. This is Psalms 46. For the director of music, of the sons of Korah, according to the Alamoth, a song. And it's titled, God is Our Fortress. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at the break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice. The earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see what the Lord has done, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes war cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. He says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray. God, we pray that you open up our understanding to learn more about how we can trust in you. Let us learn about your sovereignty. Let us learn about your power. And Lord, where there are challenges in which it may seem difficult to trust you, I pray that you meet us where we are, Lord, and encourage us. We know that you love us, and we are here to give you glory and learn more of you. We pray all these things in your holy and divine name. Amen. Amen. All right, church, so a little bit about me. Since I am a language arts teacher, a school librarian, a book lover, a songwriter, a self-identified nerd, and a lover of the Word of God, I gotta tell you, I geeked out with this passage. I even printed it out. I annotated it. I got arrows and brackets. I got doodles. I got cross references. And that's a joke. If you get that. So church, can I have your permission to geek out with this passage? Yes. Amen, amen. So class is in session. Matter of fact, raise your hand if language arts was your favorite subject growing up. Ooh, more than the first service. Raise your hand if math was your favorite subject growing up. Wow, more math. Raise your hand if history was your favorite subject growing up. Whoa. Wow, that's the most. I love history. But raise your hand if science was your favorite subject growing up. Okay, those last two got the most. That's okay. That's good. That's good. Who was waiting for me to say PE? Oh, what's up? Oh, what about lunch? I mean, we all love to eat. I feel as though I got a grade in lunch in third grade. I remember doing that. I was like, what? There's no way. You just eat. How do you? Well, whatever your favorite subject is, God calls us to be lifelong learners. And before we dive into the psalm, I want us to learn a little bit about the psalms. So psalms typically come with titles and sometimes liturgical information to show who wrote the psalm or why it was written. There might even be historical notes to provide context. Before the psalm even starts, what information does it give us? The title of Psalms 46 is God is Our Fortress. And it says to the choir master. That means it's either written by or about, in this case, the sons of Korah. Who are the sons of Korah? Well, for one, they are authors of several psalms, especially in the second book of Psalms, and they served in the sanctuary and were important to the choral and orchestral music. They were basically like Tim,
our worship pastor. The phrase, according to the Alamoth, is about a singing style of who should sing it. It would be a higher toned singer. And Alma in Hebrew comes from the word meaning young maiden. So typically someone who has a higher pitched voice. And yes, as you can guess, this psalm is in fact a song. In our time, it would be like saying, "Build My Life," a song written by the house fires in the key of G. This psalm is for the director of music of the sons of Korah, according to the Alamoth, a song. So you see the kind of connection there? Here we're going to see how God has sovereignty over the world and our situations, and why we can, in turn, trust Him. I'd like us to first explore how we will not fear because God has sovereignty over the world. I want you to repeat after me, church. We will not fear, for the Lord is near. We will not fear, for the Lord is near. Amen. Now, God can be trusted when situations don't seem ideal, or in fact, when they are terrible. And look, trouble is inevitable. If you live in this life, various forms of it are going to come. So whether that be the mosquito bite you just felt a few minutes ago, or maybe when you go outside, or maybe it might be the flat tire that you might have, or maybe it might be a friend who has said something rude, trouble will happen. But where do we find our encouragement? What does the first verse say? The psalm starts as it says, God is our refuge and strength. Refuge and strength. And why those two? What is a refuge and strength, and what did it mean to the individuals during that time? Let's start with the refuge. Other psalms refer to this as a form of safety, abiding under his shadow, abiding under his wings. But safe from what? The only reason safety needs to be mentioned here is because danger is also present. For some of the Israelites, there were nations who sought their demise and deliberately made attempts to put God to shame by endeavoring to conquer the Israelites. Yet God still made a way, and victory was attained. You see, this book recounts multiple moments in history where God delivered them out of their hands, of their enemies, because they trusted in who? Him. Specifically, in 1 Samuel, we see that David was pursued by Saul, who was Israel's king, and David had to hide in a cave. Psalms 142 starts off with this context. Of David, when he was in a cave, a prayer. So that means we know this was either written about or by David. And in this case, it's both. David is in a cave that one would say is a refuge. But what does David claim as he's in this cave? In verse 5, he says, I cry to you, O Lord. You are my refuge, my portion in the land of the living. Attend to my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are too strong for me. He might be in this cave, but it's the Lord who truly protects David, the Lord who he can depend on. They're too strong for me, he says. So he surrenders and asks God for his strength, for him to be a refuge. As we go back to Psalm 46, look at the images in verse 2 and 3. It says, we will not fear though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its water roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. I'll give you a moment. What do you notice about those images? What do you notice about those images? These images are massive events happening in our earth that are outside our control. We cannot stop the quaking mountain. We cannot stop the roaring waters. We cannot stop the earthquake. But I know a God who can. These verses remind me of one of the world's most iconic TV shows to ever be broadcasted. VeggieTales. Amen. It's a show where these vegetables share lessons about scripture, the Bible, pop culture, and levels of humor appropriate for children and maybe sometimes for adults. One of the very first songs to ever air was called God is Bigger Than the Boogeyman. And I'm not gonna sing it. I could, but we're here to learn scripture. That's the worship team, leave that for them. But the first lyrics go like this. God is bigger than the boogeyman. He's bigger than Godzilla and the monsters on TV. Now growing up, I was never scared of the boogeyman, but I was terrified of going to the basement when all the lights are off and having to go grab something. That was true terror. Now, hopefully we're not scared of the boogeyman or monsters on TV, but there are things we experience in our lives or see on TV or our screens that frighten us, things that worry us, things that cause us to fear. Church, I want you to take a moment to think, and you won't share this, but what is something that troubles you that is outside your control? What is something that troubles you that is outside your control? I don't know what it is that troubles you, that's outside your control, but I want to remind you what the text says. Look at the second part of verse 1. The text encourages us that he's a very present help in trouble. Whenever you're experiencing trouble, God is there. God is there. God was there when the diagnosis hit. God was there when your relationships came to an end. God was there when family doesn't feel like family. And God was also there when your money wasn't. I'm here to encourage you that God is present when you have trouble. And with God's presence comes its power, which means God has power over your trouble. Psalms 93 verse 4 says it like this. The Lord on high is more powerful than the sound of many waters and strong waves of the sea. Strong waves in ancient times were synonymous with trouble, and it was trouble outside their control. You might remember how the strong waves troubled the disciples in Matthew chapter 8. It was a Galilean fishing boat. And the fishermen found the remains of this boat and gave it the moniker Jesus Boat. The Jesus Boat was about 27 feet long, 7.5 feet wide, and 4.5 feet tall. And it says the waves overtook the boat. These waves were bigger than me. Doesn't say much. And it was a regular storm. No, the text says it was a furious storm. So much so, the disciples are scared that they're going to drown. So who do they call on? Jesus. And then Jesus speaks to the waves and calms the storm. I want you to call back what was troubling you, the thing that was outside your control. Think about this. If Jesus can settle the waves with a phrase, those vehement waves that are outside the disciples' control, how much more can he conquer the things that are troubling you? How much more can he conquer the things that are troubling you? Jesus was a very present help in trouble. Jesus, as in God with us. And with his presence comes his power. It was at this moment that the disciples stopped looking at their boat for their security and turned to Jesus for his presence and his power, so we too can trust in him. Repeat after me. We will not fear, for the Lord is near. We will not fear, for the Lord is near. And as we look back at Psalm 46, there's a juxtaposed image in verse 4 where it says, there's a river whose streams make glad the city of God. Previously, the images were catastrophic, but here it presents an image of a stream, a river. It makes the city of God glad. Why? It says, God is in the midst of them. God will help her. She will not fall. When you have protection, that gives you a form of peace. Amongst all the questions, the tribulation, the confusion, the turmoil, you don't have to do this alone. God is present. And with his presence comes his power, and with this power comes protection, and with his protection comes peace. Let's look at verse 6. It states, the nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice, the earth melts. Here, God is personified as a warrior and shows the splendor of his power. Most civilizations will try to broadcast their strength. Did you know there are about 12,000 nuclear weapons in the world right now? And also that the U.S. and other nations will not stop for anything to somehow display their brute strength, which in turn leads them to develop pride in their heart. So sure, the nations who rage make the kingdoms totter, but when God speaks, the earth melts. The world may have some proposed level of strength, but my trust is not in a world that can make their own strength by weapons. My trust is not in a world who conjures their own influence. My trust is not in a world that makes moves according to the flow of money. God has more power than the world to conquer the things that are troubling you. Why can we trust in God? Because he's always present in our troubles. And God brings his power and strength to overcome our troubles. Therefore, we should not fear trouble. We should not fear the quaking mountains. We should not fear the water roaming. We should not fear any of these things that seek to do us harm. We can also trust God because it's in his entire essence. I want us to continue to see how we can trust in God because he is the all-sufficient one. Now, this psalm is broken up into two verses, or you may know it as sections, and it includes a refrain. So here's a musical term. Raise your hand if you know what a refrain is. You ever heard that? A refrain? Yeah, a little bit. Okay. So a refrain is a repeated phrase in a song. Do you see, church, the two verses that are repeated? What two verses are repeated? Can someone shout them out? 7 and 11. It says, the Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Now, in a song context, refrains or choruses give us guidance on what the thesis of the song is. This image of God being a fortress is a consistent metaphor in the Psalms, like Psalms 91, where it says, my refuge, my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Fortresses provided a different cultural image to the Israelites. They were a symbol of protection and rescue, something that kept them safe. Just like for them, for us, God is our fortress, so we can trust in him. And there's something important about God also being described as the Lord Almighty in verses 7 and 11, because it comes from the Hebrew El Shaddai, meaning all-sufficient one, meaning he will supply and meet our needs. I wanted to share a story about how God provides for you even when you're not aware that it's God. So I used to drive Lyft. It's kind of a rideshare job. And my favorite part was communicating with all the passengers. So someone would get in and I would say, "Hey, how's your day going?" And then they would say, "Oh, good." And you'd look out the window with that automatic response. But I would respond with, "What makes it good?" And then typically that launches us into a great conversation. And I once picked up this young lady and we discussed a few things. Her occupation as an artist, corruption in this world, greed, and even the notion of needing other things. And for that last one, I related it to my connection to God. So she asked me, "Well, where have you seen God provide for you?" And we're driving, so I just quickly thought of the first thing that came to my mind when I think of the word provision. I thought of food. Now, who in here has chef-level skills? Raise your hand. Raise your hand if you have chef-level skills, or you can cook with a capital C. Anybody got that skill? Okay, cool. You invite them to the small group. Oh my goodness. But you see, I don't have that skill. I do not possess that skill to make a bunch of food. Even when I'm invited to potlucks, sometimes I get fried chicken from Jewel. That's what I bring. I'm working on it. Right. But nevertheless, as I started to share how God provided provision, I was increasingly surprised about all the moments that God provided for me when I was not aware. I was invited to a friend's house during the pandemic, and we ate food all the time. When my family's house got sold at the age of 17, I had family members house me, and I was also fed then. Or even when I was on the college campus and we could just go eat as much as you wanted, you know, freshman 15 and all that, and I was still fed then. So weirdly enough, I didn't think this was God until later. God was God before. The very nature of being able to use reasoning to understand these words, the means of you getting here to the church or even being able to watch online, God has provided. God is showing that He is the all-sufficient one. I want to share another story about how God provides for the things you ask for. There was a time when one of my family members needed funds. They needed exactly $600. And I did not have $600. I did not have that in my savings, didn't have that in my accounts. Could not help them out in that way. But I knew God. I knew what He had done and that He would supply for my family member's need. Church, if God can solve problems in your past, can He do it in the future? Yes. If God can solve your problems in the past, can He do it in the future?
Yes.
Amen, amen. So at that moment, I have the confidence in who God is. So in that conversation, I say, "I'm sorry I can't help in that way, but we can pray and seek God." And they didn't like that response. They said, "What do you think? $600 is just gonna come out of the sky?" And I said, let's just pray. That's all we can do. In church, I found out that that was the only thing I needed to do. I routinely checked my mail, and that day there was an interesting envelope. And in it was a refund check of $600. That was God. God is the all-sufficient one. Everything that is needed, He provides. All good and perfect gifts come down from the Father. God is the all-sufficient one. Did I make $600 appear? Did I use my financial literacy and wisdom to conjure up this money out of nowhere? No. I just trusted in God as the all-sufficient one. If God can solve my past troubles and my family members' troubles, can He solve yours?
Yes.
Amen, He can. And when He does, we turn to God and express our thanksgiving. Now, there are times when God hasn't provided yet. But we know He cares for the fatherless, the widow, the orphan, you and I, because it's in His Word. We know He is powerful. We know that He can do wondrous works in the past as well as now and forevermore. So as we understand His power and His provision, how do we respond? We pray and wait. But we wait with expectancy because we know who God is. Amen, amen. When you have emotions, experiences, or encounter events, God wants to connect with you. The things you trust typically solve the things you're worried about. The things you trust typically solve the things you're worried about. So take, for instance, the safety of your home. You may trust in alarms and locks to keep your house safe. No matter the emotions or experiences you have, God wants to connect with you. Now, how do we see this relationship from Scripture? In Psalm 31, which is written by King David, in verse 10, he is talking to God when he says, "Turn your ear to me. Come quickly to my rescue." Here, he's petitioning God because David experienced many hardships as being a king and a warrior. In the same psalm, in verse 21, he says, "Praise be to the Lord, for he has shown me the wonders of his love when I was in a city under siege." In that same exact psalm, we see David talk to God for what he needs and expressing gratitude. Listen, church, you need strength to make it through the day? You choose God. You need encouragement to give to a friend? You choose God. And you need a reason to be thankful? You choose God. He wants to connect with you, and He is enough, so you can trust Him. Repeat after me, God is enough. Also, God not only desires our vertical connection to Him, He also wants our horizontal connections. Did David have any friends in Scripture? What was the name of David's friend in Scripture? Jonathan. And in 1 Samuel 18, we learn about David's connection to Jonathan. And it's through that bond that he was able to see and feel the connection of God. So, you might be able to guess what we're about to do next, considering that I just talked about horizontal connections and we're in a room full of people. Turn to your neighbor and say, "Hey." To your neighbor, "How's your day going?" And when they say good, you say, "What makes it good?" Oh, wow. Some of you are in like full conversation mode. So I want to be respectful of our time. So if you're having a great conversation, we can continue that after the service. Amen, amen. I want us to also think about how we will not fear because God will bring peace. Therefore, we can be still because of it. God desires true peace. And as we look again at Psalm 46, verse 9, it says, "Come, behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth. He makes the war cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters a spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I'll be exalted in the earth." How does God bring about peace? He makes the wars cease. He breaks all the weapons that are conducive to carnage. And no, God has not waved some white flag as a form of surrender. Conversely, he ends it with his splendor, with his power, and that causes the wars to end. He commands us to surrender, to be still, and know that he is God. The nations that we read about earlier are so puffed up in the things that they declare as power, and people like you and I are sometimes puffed up in the things that give us security, But both of them, the things that display power and the things that give security, will dwindle away like these chariots. Here are some questions, church. Do you trust in nations who make these dangerous toys that come from the earth, or the very one who designed and crafted the earth? Do you trust in the sharp intellect of a human who has a mind, or the very one who crafted humans in the first place? Do you trust in the things that you can see, change, manipulate, or bend, or the one who can speak a phrase and the whole earth bows to him? That is the God where we should put our trust. All these things will pass away, but the God that we serve, his kingdom will reign forever. So do not put your trust in which things are subject to decompose, but the one who is immovable. And therefore, that allows us to be still. I want to clarify that being still doesn't mean to not move, nor does it mean to be passive or stagnant. It's a posture of knowing where we put our trust. And some of us might be wondering, well, how do you trust in God? Like, where do you start? You pray. And when you pray for what God has done, because that gives us confidence that he can do it again. No matter the experience, the emotions, the events that you encounter, I want you to pray to God. Ask God in prayer. No matter the raging nations, the roaring waters, the provisions needed, let's put our trust in God. So let's demonstrate that right now. And if you're able, let's please stand so we can pray. If you are feeling lonely or apart from community, or if you're experiencing any emotional turmoil, I just want to invite you to open out your hands as a posture of receiving. It's something that Scripture commands us to do. I'd like for us to be still for a moment, because he says, be still and know that I am God. He says, be still and know that I am God. Lord, we just want to say we thank you for how you've brought us into community, that you loved us first and your word declares it so. I pray that you bring healing where there's turmoil. I pray you bring restoration where there's any form of pain. I pray you bring love where there has been hatred, oh God. I pray you bring your peace. We thank you for who you are. We pray that we go forward to know how we can recognize where we can put our trust so that we can be still. And I pray all these things in his holy divine name. Amen.